We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Praise the Lord. It is Friday, August the 28th, 2015. We want to thank you for tuning in. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast. And today begins a journey of therapy for me, and so you pray for me that I'll have a quick and complete recovery and have a full range of motion restored, and that the pain will be taken care of. I appreciate your prayer. Somebody back in the 80s, I heard somebody, a famous preacher, said, you don't need to pray for me. I don't need your prayers. And it's like, whoa, that's a brash statement. And I want you to know that that is not my mindset. I appreciate your prayers, solicit your prayers, and we will be praying for you as well. So thank you for tuning in today. We do have a special Sunday that is in store for us. We have a guest speaker that is going to be there on Sunday. And we will be having a potluck dinner Sunday afternoon immediately after the service. So if you are able to come be a part of that, we encourage you to do so. There's going to be plenty of food. It'll be really good food. And then you can prepare yourself for the week of adventure that God has in store for you. So we're going to go back to Genesis, the 44th chapter today. And we're going to pick up in verse number 30 and read through the end of the chapter. It says in verse 30, "Now therefore, when I come," this is Judah speaking, "when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, 'If I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father?'" So I want to go back to the statement that we were dealing with at the end of yesterday's broadcast. And it says there in verse 30, "since his life is bound up in the lad's life." And I would like to ask this question today, and that is, how do you identify yourself? What is your identity based upon? What is your life tied to? Those are questions that many of us may not ask many times, but our identity can become misplaced. For instance, men, if someone comes up to you, they will generally ask you two questions. First of all, what is your name? And second, what type of work do you do? Because as men, our identity becomes integrated and bound up with the work that we have to do. My grandfather worked for the same company, I believe it was for 53 years. He just worked a long, long time for the same company. Things don't happen like that very much anymore. He was told that he would be able to work for that company as long as he wanted to. And So every morning he would get up and he would drive in and he would do that job, and he had risen through the ranks over the years. And my grandfather was just a man who loved to work. If he wasn't working at the job, he also had a little side business. Interestingly enough, it was an air conditioning business. A number of our sponsors here that attend our church, they have air conditioning business, and I understand some of their trade, because I grew up and I got to go with my grandfather on what he called service calls. And primarily what that meant was I was there to tote the tool bag and to tote the vacuum pump, which in those days weighed a substantial amount of weight, and it would take two hands. And basically he did all of the work, but I'm telling you, he paid really, really good for, you know, just a teenager to go along and tote his tools. He really did. But if he wasn't doing that, he was repairing his truck or repairing his mower. He had a mower that probably lasted three decades, because he just continued to rebuild the thing over and over again. And he was constantly working. And one day, his company had been bought and sold a number of times, and a new company came in and took it over. And they said, well, you're going to have to retire, because you are beyond our new guidelines, mandatory age of retirement. And I was very concerned about my grandfather, because he was so tied up. His identity was so bound up in the work that he was doing. Most of the time that if my grandfather got sick, it would happen when he was on vacation. He just loved to work. And here in our area, there can be people who are so bound up, their identity is so tied up with their occupation, that if the company shuts down, then people get very threatened and very insecure. They can become depressed because they're bound up with that job that they do. People can be bound up in the possessions that they have. Their life is tied up in the possessions, and there are people who will literally put on a facade, a false impression, to give a veneer appearance, but underneath that veneer, there's just a hollow shell. There's really no substance behind it. Many times, women's identity can be tied up in the roles or in the relationships that they have. Oh, I am so-and-so's mother. I'm so-and-so's husband. I'm involved in this situation or that situation. And I'm not saying that we don't have those responsibilities, but what I am saying today is our identity has got to be raised upon, or it's got to be entwined or founded upon a more stable foundation than just the role that we play in someone else's life. There are a number of parents, there's a term now that school has started back, and there's a term that schools have invented called helicopter parents, and that is that even though the kids are no longer under 18, they've gone off to school, that these parents just hover over everything like a helicopter, and they're still trying to manage those young adults' lives as if they were 8 years old instead of 18, and as if they were 12 years old instead of 22. And the danger is that they live vicariously through their kids' lives. And I want to encourage you, live the life that God created you to live. Do not live vicariously through someone else. Establish your identity. May your life be tied into something more than your job or your relationships or through someone else's accomplishments. your identity is only firmly established when it is this: I am a child of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God is forming me and making me and transforming me to the image that He would have me to bear. I am a work in progress. The things that I do to glorify God, not because my life is tied to those things. Here's the danger: is if our life gets entwined or gets tied up in things that are not eternal, like Jesus Christ. When those things disappear, then all of a sudden we lose purpose, we lose identity, and we no longer know what we're supposed to do. And then we end up grasping for straws. And sometimes people just say, my life isn't worth living anymore because my identity is now gone. And I want you to know, God has a better identity for you. Listen, in Zephaniah chapter 3, it talks about that God rejoices over you with singing. A lot of times we talk about the joy that we experience because of God. I want you to understand the joy that God experiences over you. The Hebrew there in Zephaniah chapter 3, it describes Him spinning like a top as He's singing over you with rejoicing. I just picture this tremendous celebration. Listen, you will very rarely ever see me dance in public. The reason, there are many reasons, but about the only place you will ever see me dance is at one of my children's wedding. Okay, that's it. Outside of that, my kids and my wife have put a no dancing in public policy on me because I do not have a great deal of dancing capabilities. There was a movie called Hitch, and he says, this is where you're at. And he's trying to coach this guy how to dance, and it's just, you know, just swaying back and forth and staying right in this little area. That's kind of what they do. At church, when I get excited, I just hop. Because I can bounce up and down. I can jump up and down with excitement to the music, and I can do that on beat. I do have a little bit of rhythm in that area, but dancing is not a skill that I have developed. Fred Astaire, I am not. But when I get to heaven, God is going to take this mortal body, this uncoordinated body, if you will, and he's going to cause me to be able to dance like David danced. I'm really looking forward, and God rejoices over you. Your identity, your life, it cannot be tied up in anything other than your relationship with Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus is the only thing that will ever get you to heaven. Your relationship with Jesus is the only thing that is going to make those other things worthwhile. So I encourage you, don't get tied up with other people's life. Get tied up with Jesus' life. But Judah is speaking up here and says, it will happen when he sees the lad is not with us that he will die. Verse 33. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father? What happens in chapter 33 is Judah steps up and offers himself as a substitute for Benjamin. He's not there saying Benjamin's not guilty. Benjamin, the evidence points that Benjamin is guilty, but I can't stand to go back to my father and see the pain that is going to result. And so I have offered myself as a surety. I have offered myself as a ransom for Benjamin. I am willing to stay and pay the penalty for him. because I cannot stand to see the grief that would become, that would come to my father if Benjamin is not restored and reconciled to my father. Jesus, interestingly enough, came from the tribe of Judah. Revelation identifies him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And here what Judah does in Genesis is just a foreshadowing of what Jesus has done for every person that lives upon the earth. You see, it is not if you and I are guilty of sin. We are guilty of sin. We are not sinners because we sinned. We sinned because that was our nature. We were sinners apart from God. We were hostile to God. We were enemies of God. And as a result of that, we acted in a manner that was hostile towards him. Jesus never says, God, they're innocent. They didn't do it. But what Jesus does say is, I offer my life as a substitute for them. I want you and them to know the joy of fellowship and relationship, and so I offer myself as a substitute, a ransom. I will pay the penalty for their sins. The wages of sin is death. Jesus said, I want to give them the gift of eternal life. I will go to the cross that they deserve. He went to the cross that Bob Arthurs deserved. The next time that you are in a situation and you said, I don't deserve for people to treat me like this, remember that you and I have done things to God that God did not deserve. There is no place for unforgiveness in the body of Christ. There's no place in your life for unforgiveness of yourself when Jesus has offered to pay the price for you. And I see this in Judah. Reuben had been vocal, and all of them had been transformed from the people of hostility in Joseph's teen years to now Benjamin being potentially taken away from their father, and Judah is saying, take me instead. If you are listening to this broadcast today, I want you to know that Jesus said that to the Father, take me instead. Take me instead. I will stay. I will pay the price. I will give my life a ransom for many. John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He did that by coming and living a sinless life so that he was qualified to say, I am innocent of all these charges, but I give my life so that the world could be reconciled. So I see a tremendous level of maturity in Judah there. And it says in verse 34, for how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father. In the Old Testament, it says multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. One of my goals here on the radio program, I want to bring a refreshing word to you, but purpose in the kingdom is also refreshing. It is nice to be able to have something to do. I have been unemployed in my life, and it was a day of rejoicing when I was given the privilege of working a job for somebody. It had purpose in it. It was like, it wasn't that I was looking forward to the diminishment of free time, but having a purpose to get up of a morning, having a purpose to get up and say, I am going to do this for the glory of God. It was refreshing. And I want you to know that the Bible says that God has created works for you and I to do from the foundation of the world. My belief is this: if there are over 7 billion people on the planet, God has a plan to reach those 7 billion people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jude says that the gospel has been entrusted once and for all to the saints. That means that we have a responsibility to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me show what verse 34 says. It says, for how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father. Several years ago, I saw an interesting statistic, and it said that a church less than 3 years old, that it only took 3 people in the church to lead somebody to Jesus, that whatever the size of the church was, that they would, in a year's time, for every 3 people, they would lead that many people to Jesus. And then there were various stages, and it finally got up to a church that had been established and was, had been in existence for a long time, you know, decades, that statistic had transformed from 1 in 3 leading someone to Jesus to 1 in 83 leading someone to Jesus. That means that if there were 83 people in the church, that church would only lead one person to Jesus in the course of a year. If there were 830 people in the church, they would lead 10 people to Jesus in a year. And, you know, I don't know how they, you know, did that study and all of that, but I do know this: there are too many sinners in the world that have not been reached with the good news of Jesus Christ. And today I would like for God to birth in us an awareness, a sobering reality, if you will, that it should be an unpleasant thought for us to go to heaven without bringing along with us everyone that we can to spend an eternity with Him. So I ask you, how long has it been since you shared Jesus with somebody? How long has it been since you got to lead someone in the sinner's prayer? I'll tell you, here a few weeks ago, we had a person get saved in one of our services, and that is so exciting for us. We've seen numerous people give their heart to Jesus. We are doing our best to bring that statistic of 1 in 83, because our church is over 60 years old. We're doing our best to bring that statistic down. I would like to get down to where it's not only 1 in 3, but it is that every person is leading someone to Jesus and making a disciple out of them. Because when we go to heaven, we want to bring as many people along with us as we possibly can. I don't want there to be empty seats at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to be doing my best, diligently sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone that I can. How about you? How about you? If you do not know how to lead someone to Jesus, I pray that you would set yourself on a journey to be equipped. Memorize the Word of God. Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to open doors for you. I've got a friend. He's one of my heroes in the faith. Whenever I go to a restaurant, I ask the server if there's anything that we can pray for them about. I can tell you, I've been in meals with him, and for him, that conversation, he's ended up leading the server to Jesus right there in the restaurant. I've never had that privilege or that skill developed yet to make that transition, but I do take advantage of the other opportunities that I've got. Equip yourself. Ask your pastor if you've got one. Pastor, I need to know, I need to be trained on how to lead someone to Jesus Christ, and not just lead them to a decision, but then also to train them as a disciple. Be a friend to them. Help show them the way to grow. And like I was sharing, you know, about my daughter's friend, it was either yesterday or today. Watch how quickly, you know, the reality is new believers lead more people to Jesus than seasoned believers do. That's one of the reasons why a church constantly needs to be having new believers come in, is because they're so excited about this new life that God has just given to them that they want to share it with everybody. How long has it been since you have pondered and thought about the goodness of God and said, you know what, this news is too good to keep to myself. I have got to share it with other people around me. There was a movie that I watched, a Christian film that was shown in our church back in the 1980s, and it was about this guy that finds this little box, a little music box, and when he opens it, it just turns his world from black and white to Technicolor. I mean, it just brings so much joy to him, and he keeps it a secret, and he just breaks it out, and he uses it to bring joy to his life. But whenever he's around somebody else, he kept it to himself, until one day he realized that other people could benefit from this joy as well. And he finally broke out of his shell and started sharing this joy that he had found with other people around him, and his joy went on to a completely new level. Father, I pray today, Lord, I thank you that Jesus gave himself as a ransom for many. I thank you, Lord, for the life that is available to all of us today because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Father, equip us to be soul winners. Equip us for the work of the ministry. Equip us and train us with the Word of God and an ear for the Holy Spirit to lead us to those people who need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. May this be a transformative weekend for the kingdom of God. Build your kingdom here in Central Brevard County, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday or Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And
Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I wanna love and serve you more and more.